Hi again, my name is Pat, and I wanted to do a commentary on day 79. I'll read the verses again from Luke 19, verses 3 and 4. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. As I was getting ready for this reading, I was thinking about how it was for me before I became born again. The only thing that I knew that was very, very strong in me before I came to know the Lord as my Savior was that I was certainly looking for something. I was feeling very, very empty. I have told my story before where I had been in a 12-step rooms recovery for a long time, and then in 1987 we moved to New York City, and I found a recovery program for the food that the people in it were very, very devoted, and they had really acquired the skill of what it needed, what was needed in order to be abstinent. And I got abstinent, and I was not able, before the time, I had not been able to get abstinent. And so it was such a relief for me. And I thought that that was the end of it, you know. I knew that I needed to work the steps just being in a 12-step program. And so I did. I would work the steps, and I was, you know, squeaky clean, abstinent, as they call it. And about the fourth year, I was so afraid that I was going to lose my abstinence because things were getting very, very hard. And I had to go back and talk to people and was reminded that I needed to, you know, expand my spiritual growth. And I did. I started calling, asking the Lord to please help me. And in His mercy, He drew me to the cross. He drew me to Christian radio where I heard the gospel. And I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And so I am so grateful that He has given me the faith and the wisdom to understand that it's not religion, you know, it's not about religion. It's about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And that I have to have an understanding that Jesus is the Messiah. I have to understand why I needed a Messiah. You know, I had to understand what happened. Why, you know, why do we have this brokenness? Why can't we fix ourselves, you know? And what was the sacrifice all about with Jesus dying on the cross? And so all of those things were not clear in my mind. But over time, as I, like I said, was drawn to the Lord, and I had enough faith given to me that I was able to just surrender, knowing that I did not know the answer, but I came to believe that Jesus did, and I really did give Him my will in my life. He became my higher power. And it says further on in those verses, it says of Zacchaeus, he was a short man. He could not, he wanted to see Jesus, but he could not because of the crowd. And when I looked at that word crowd, I thought about the things that crowded out my knowledge of the Lord. I had been exposed to Christianity as a child. Both my parents were Christian, but what I have come to understand in my faith is that there are no grandchildren, you know, when it comes to Christianity, meaning that I myself have to make that decision to follow Jesus. I have to make that decision myself, that He is indeed my Savior and my Lord. And so I think that, you know, I probably heard the gospel many times being in a church. I would hope that I did, but again, I don't know. But for some reason, I did not accept the Lord until, you know, like 1991. I was 41 years old when I accepted the Lord, you know, as my Savior. And I have since listened to one of the Bible teachers, J. Vernon McGee, and he talks about what keeps people from accepting the gospel. And he said that it's about sin. You know, that sin keeps people from accepting Jesus as their, you know, truly as their Savior and their Lord. They don't want to let go of that sin. The sin at the time is too much, you know, it is something that they enjoy too much to let it go. And that brought me to think about, you know, in the gospel, whenever they speak of Jesus, they also talk about the Pharisees. And from my studies, I realized the Pharisees were very learned men. They knew the scripture. And so I am sure that they knew who Jesus was. And they were not willing to want to give up their position, you know, for him. You know, for him being who he was sent to be. And so, yes, sin can be like that crowd. It can be in the way of a person really surrendering and accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it says about Zacchaeus that he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, meaning Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. I thought about witnessing and how the witness of others is so essential to, it was essential to my coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I think back to a story that was in John chapter 4, verses 39 and, through 49. It was sometimes called the woman, the Samaritan woman, or the woman at the well. And I think at one part in that that story, she was so taken by Jesus that she started going into the town talking to people about it. And at one point, the people of the town said, essentially they said, yeah, we came to him because of your testimony, but we have our own testimony now. We don't even need yours, you know. And that is what I find. My testimony is not needed. You know, I mean, it's not the end-all and the be-all, as they say. You know, but my testimony is important. It helps to give a person a place to identify, to jump, a jumping-on place a lot of times. And I think about the testimonies that I had for my abstinence and how it helps me to know that it's important for me to have a testimony for my spiritual growth in the Lord Jesus. You know, like the testimony, all testimonies can be used. It can be used for a person, you know, again, the jumping off place for people. Jumping on place where people can come aboard and just find out about the good news. In the reading tonight is called Going to Any Length, and the last part of the first paragraph says that I was encouraged to cultivate a willingness and to go that extra mile for my abstinence, and that meant that I had to bring backup and pack what they call hostage meals or ask about ingredients in restaurants and choose other menu items when ingredients were questionable or unknown. And it goes on to say that it was hard doing these things, very hard. But afterwards, you know, I felt like a millionaire. It's like what they say about any disciplines. It says that in Hebrews, it says, no discipline is pleasant at the time but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. And so it was hard to stand up for my abstinence, but the nice thing is how I felt after it was over. It was wonderful to each time that I started building up my own, no matter what. I know that there are some people who still resist working with a sponsor, and I just really, again, encourage you to prayerfully ask that the Lord will send you a food sponsor. one of the things I know about physical abstinence is that it requires practical skill. And since, again, like, we have to deal with our food every day, and so I don't need to reinvent the wheel, but I do need to have the humility to learn from others. And the other thing too about having a food sponsor, it teaches me how to be humble. And that lesson I need to pass on to any who come behind me that the Lord sends to me. And just like, you know, I just, I need to know clearly what my abstinence is so that I can communicate that to anyone that the Lord sends to me. I can remember before the abstinence that I have now that it used to be so fuzzy that at the end of the day I would sit on my bed and I would be going, was I abstinent? Was that abstinent? And boy, I am grateful that the Lord has given me a way to abstain that goes into the bent of who I am. You know, that I need very rigorous guidelines because I tend to be quite dishonest about the food. In the prayer later on, our shepherd will read the prayer at the bottom of the page. But I had underlined a part of the prayer, and it says, I pray to go to any length to persevere and to grow in my faith. I have to keep that willingness, even in vacation time. We went out of town as a family this weekend, and we went to the beach. And I at one point, as I was sitting on the beach, I could see how, quote-unquote, easy it seemed for people, you know, in terms of their eating, that they didn't have to, you know, have their food planned and whatever, whatever. And I had to immediately cut that off. Don't even go there, you know. That is not, you know, that is not good, profitable thinking. I have to keep an attitude of gratitude. You know, thank you, Lord, that I'm not in the craziness of the food. And Lord, strengthen me to go to any length that I need to do in order to protect it. So I'm grateful that by Zacchaeus' example, you know, to persevere and to grow, I pray to do the same thing. In the last part of the reading on page 79, they have a section, as in all the sections, all the readings, called Digging Deeper. And the second thing it says in Digging Deeper, it says, tell of a time when you went to any length to get abstinent food, who encouraged or discouraged you, and how did you feel later? I thought about, for me personally, was the time when, I don't know how many years of abstinence I had at that time. I can't remember. Can't remember whether it was at the beginning or the end. But I know that I was called for jury duty. And I was in trial. I was in the trial for a long time. And then the worst happened is that we got sequestered. We couldn't go home one time. And they, and I was so grateful, again, from people who had gone before me. Because, number one, they had always told me to always have an extra, you know, cup and scale and tablespoon packed away. Because you never know when you need it. And I've learned that lesson. You know, I keep a scale in my car. You know, I keep things in my car that I can use to weigh and measure my food if things happen. But I was so grateful that they told me that because, you know, when I got sequestered, I had to stand up for what I needed. You know, we had to send the clerk out. Well, everybody needed food, so they were sending the clerk out, but I was able to be very specific about what it was that I needed and what I couldn't eat and things like that. And I remember, too, about that, too. I'm so grateful for people who went before me, oh my goodness, because their testimony, their no matter what stories that they had, gave me the courage to stay abstinent, even in a very hard time, you know, to do what I needed to do with my food, even though other people, it appeared to them like, whoa, why, you know, why do that? But I am so grateful as I, you know, look back over all these years that I did not give up on myself, that I had the integrity and also what I had learned from others, the courage to stand up and to be abstinent. But I'm going to stop there.